Take your Bibles tonight and turn to Mark chapter 14. As you're turning, I'd like to remind you, the 22nd of December, which is a Saturday, the 22nd at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, we're going to have an ordination council here for John Bolson. If he passes, of course, there'll be an ordination service the 23rd. And then on the 29th of December, there will be, at 2 o'clock, will be an ordination council for Thomas Engel. And if Thomas passes, then there'll be a service on the 30th for him. So, two different ordinations. Mark chapter 14, please. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 10. It says, "And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them." Of course, the them, the Sanhedrin, chief priest, then the him, of course, being the Lord Jesus, verse 11. "And when they," the chief priest, the Sanhedrin, "and when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money." Now, we could go over to the Matthew 26 account, and there we'd see that it was for 30 pieces of silver. Go on. "And he sought how he might conveniently betray him." Over in the Matthew account there, it says that he looked for an opportunity to betray him. Sort of interesting. The word opportunity in the Matthew account, the word that's translated conveniently here, are from the same root. One's a noun, one's an adverb. That's the only difference. And the word conveniently here and the word opportunity there basically means a good time. It means a good time or the right time or a favorable opportunity or the just the right moment. You know, We like things to be done just at the right moment, you know. If you're playing at a basketball game and the score's tied and you've got the ball, you want the score. You want the ball in the air as the last second clicks off the clock, and then you want it to swish through the basket. Isn't that right, David? Isn't that what you want? That's how you, just at the right time, you want to stick that nail in there. Nail it down where they can't get the ball and come back and score. That's the right time. But the opportune time is when we like to do things. That's how Judas wanted to do things. He wanted to do it just at the right time, this betrayal. Tonight I want to look in this, the last part of this chapter 14, and then the first part of 15. And I want to look at some characteristics of different individuals here of betraying Christ. I think you'll see characteristics in these that, if we're not very careful, can become part of our lives. I mean, we don't betray him, of course, as Judas did. But I'm afraid sometimes we do like Peter did and some of the rest did. And if we're not very careful, sometimes these characteristics can become a part of our life if we don't do something to prevent it. So let's look at these. Let's begin in verse number 29 is where we're going to start picking up this thought. Verse 29. It says, "But Peter said unto him," and the him here being Christ, "although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow thrice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more firmly, vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all." We see here that Peter was pretty bold. We see that the rest of them were pretty bold. But we see in the context that they all failed. I don't want any of us to fail in this point. Let's pray and ask God's blessing. Father, we ask you now as we continue in the message that you would give us ears to hear. You'd help us to have open hearts and help us to realize that unless we prepare ourselves at the moment of pressure and the moment of stress, we too can give in to the same characteristics that now we see here in these disciples. We pray, Lord, your help now as we look at these thoughts in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing that I see here, first characteristic that can cause us to conveniently betray, or as the verses that we read, to deny him, is self-confidence. Notice, first of all, Peter here was very bold, very self-confident. He had an elevated view of himself. He thought, you know, everybody else may have this problem, but I will not have this problem. Whenever we get to the place where we think that's the way it is, you know, everybody else may have the problem, not me. I'm not going to have this problem. Then we have got to the place where we have such a self-confidence, such an elevated view of ourselves, we're right then ready to fall and deny the Lord or betray him. By the way, what's the difference in denying him and betraying him? It's just a little distance, basically. You know, yes, Judas betrayed him into the hands for the purpose of getting rid of him. I'm sure that was not on Peter's mind, but nonetheless, there was damage done. And depending on who's watching and who's listening, if we deny him. But here we see self-confidence was the reason. Now, Romans chapter 12 and verse number 3 tells us that we're not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. I mean, all of us should realize who we are. Now, I'll sort of blend two thoughts here together as we go through this passage. So, if we don't want to deny the Lord, if we don't want to get in the place where it's possible that we may betray him, we need to stop and consider the worth of ourselves. Now, Peter, apparently, in these three verses here, did not stop and consider himself. Have you ever stopped to really think the worth that you are? Now, understand, before God, as God looks at us, our soul is worth more than the wealth of the whole world, right? I mean, what if you gain the world and lose your soul? What have you gained? Absolutely nothing. Your soul is worth more than all the world. But at the same time, apart from us being yielded to the Lord, what are we worth? We're not worth a whole lot, are we? Apart from being yielded to God, all we are is a bunch of carnal flesh that's going to deny our Lord. So if we want to not have the characteristic that Peter, and not only Peter, but notice that last two words there in verse number 31, they all were saying this. I mean, when Peter started it, they got in. And, well, we're not going to let Peter be the only one around here that's self-confident. We're going to step in on this, too, and say, hey, we're just as confident as Peter. We've got to slow down and look at our worth and say, what are we worth? We're worth nothing apart from the grace of God. Apart from submitting to him and letting him lead us, a yieldedness to him, we're not worth a whole lot. And when we stop and evaluate ourselves and realize that and say, all right, Lord, would you lead me? Would you guide me? And with that humble, submitted attitude, we will not deny the Lord, nor will we betray the Lord. So we've got to blend these two together. The second thing I want us to look at, come back to verse number 32. See the second characteristic here that can lead to denying or betrayal. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. He taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible the hour might pass from him. And he saith, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them sleep again. And their eyes were heavy, neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time and saith unto them, sleep on now, take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Here, the second characteristic. If we're not careful, that will lead us to deny our Lord. And here, in a roundabout way, these disciples denied him. They denied his request because they didn't fulfill it. You say, what is the point? The first point was self-confidence. The second one is sleep. It's sleep. You say, what's the big deal here about sleep? Well, It shows a couple of things. Number one, it can show a laziness. I don't think that this, what took place with the disciples here, was simply because of laziness. Now, it was late in the night, but I do think there's two characteristics, I think, that we need to think about when it comes to this. The first one is sleep comes because people are undisciplined. That's one reason. Secondly, because they're overworked. Those two characteristics, overworked or undisciplined, will cause a person to sleep when he shouldn't be sleeping. Now here, in this situation, these disciples should not have been sleeping. And the reason why they should not have been sleeping is because they were asked not to. Basically, they were told not to. And whenever the Lord Jesus Christ requests something of us because of who He is, that request, in a roundabout way, should turn into that's His desire. That's His demand upon us, not to sleep. And then in that point in time, the only reason why we would sleep is because we'd be overworked or undisciplined. All right, so what should we do? We should stop and develop discipline. Right? Do the things that's necessary in our life to bring about the discipline. Now, I'd love to, tell every class that I have at school about this, because in every class I've ever taught, I have somebody that wants to go to sleep on me. And usually it's not because they're overworked. You know, the ones that's overworked usually don't go to sleep. It's the ones that's underworked that go to sleep. And what does that tell me? They don't have the discipline they need. But you can develop discipline not to go to sleep. Even when you're bone tired, you can discipline yourself not to go to sleep. If you had my daddy for a daddy, you could. I guarantee it. That was the only thing that it would take. You let my daddy hold of you for a few weeks and you wouldn't go to sleep again. But here we see that they want to sleep, and that caused them to deny His request. Now, there's many scripture that tells us that we're supposed to spiritually be awake. You know, this undiscipline will lead into the spiritual sleep. Of course, that's what I'm talking about here. Hold your place and go with me to Romans chapter 13. Look at a couple passages of scripture, then we'll come back here. But Romans chapter 13, spiritual truths here when it comes. By the way, it's when we're not right spiritually is when we're going to deny the Lord. Romans 13, verse number 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Also, Ephesians chapter number 5 is a passage of scripture that I'd like to read in conjunction with this. Ephesians chapter 5. Notice, please, verse number 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that thou walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 6, you can go back to Mark. It says, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Watch and be sober. Spiritually, we need some discipline. Spiritually, we don't need to be overworked, so to speak, so we will not deny the request of our Lord as was taking place here. Look back down in verse number 11. We'll see the third characteristic. It says, and when he heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. Again, I pointed out in the Matthew 26 account, verse 16, it says 30 pieces of silver. And go ahead and turn over to that passage of Scripture, because there's another verse I don't want to look at while we're there. But the third characteristic that would cause us to deny or betray would be that of selfishness. I could have said silver, because that's what he's getting. I could have said a salary intake. There have been a lot of people that ended up denying the Lord because of a salary. A lot of people will take a job and move to a town where there's not even a Bible-believing church. I believe in a roundabout way they've denied their Lord. The money was more important than, staying right with God. I think a lot of people over the years have done that. Another thought in conjunction with this, it could have been for social standing. I think this sort of elevated them, although temporarily in the mind's eye of those chief priests and the members of the Sadducee or the Sanhedrin, all of a sudden Judas became somebody. And a lot of people do a lot of things. They will deny what the Word of God says for acceptance into a peer group. Social standing causes a lot of people to drop their biblical standards. And here, Judas accepted it for 30 pieces of silver. Like I said, there may have been more tied to it. But notice in chapter 26, notice verse number 21, though. This is interesting. Here in verse 21, you find the last time that Jesus Christ tries to reach out to Judas. I think there's illustrations of Scripture where he tried to reach out to him more than once. But anyway, verse 21, "And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said." Now, notice here, Christ making this statement, talking, and Judas, by the way, I believe Judas was right here on his left hand. That's my personal thoughts on it. John was right here on his right, leaning in. They sort of set, laid in an angle, leaning on their elbow. Somebody else was right here. John was right here in front of him. Christ was literally right here. Judas was right. His head was that far away from Jesus' head. So the communication was that close. He could talk to John. John could hear him, and Judas could hear him without any problem. Now, the rest of them, as they got further away from him, would not have been able to hear him as well, but that John and Judas was right there. And Judas, to save face, possibly, Jesus, is it I? Can you hear? I mean, can you hear the condescension in his voice? Is it I? But here, Christ, I think, is trying to give him another opportunity to change his mind, although I think Judas's mind had been made up for some time. But nonetheless, you see here this silver involved, 30 pieces of silver. Of course, you've heard from Exodus that's the price of a slave. You've heard that song your entire life. 30 pieces of silver would be worth a good bit during that time, though. But here for silver, how much money would it cost, would you be willing to deny the Lord for? Would it be an opportunity to win the mega jackpot lottery? There are a lot of Christians, a lot of people that call themselves a Christian, stood in line last week to buy tickets for that. You know, a chance for $500 million? Would that be what it takes to cause you to deny the Lord? But here we see the silver, the salary. But then go back to chapter 14. Mark 14, let's notice verse number 50 and notice something else. Here, of course, we pick up again with the rest of the disciples. And it says, verse 50, "And they all forsook him and fled." I mean, that's a form of betrayal. That's a form of denying him. They all. Now, may I cross-reference? Go back. Let's go back to verse number 31 again, please. "But he spake the more vehemently, If I shall die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all." And now it says, "They all forsook him and fled." May I say another characteristic that, if we're not careful, will lead us to deny or betray our Lord, and that's called safety. Safety. We love to be safe. And here's a group of men that all of a sudden, now, of course, I skipped the context where Judas came and brought all the guards and stuff with him. And, of course, in verse number 45, it says, "Master, Master," and kissed him. Notice the attitude that he so imprudently could look at Jesus and say, "Master, Master." Boy, if there's ever been a lie told, that was two words. And kissed him. Yeah. But then when they took Christ, they laid their hands on him and took him there in verse 45. And then, of course, Christ healed Malchus's ear where Peter, you know, tried to cut his ear off. But then everybody, you get down to verse 50, all the rest of the disciples now fled. How fast do you think they were running? They didn't want to get taken by the guards. So it's for safety's sake. Notice verse number 54. And Peter followed afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Again, far off, far enough back that he wouldn't be associated with it. Again, why? For safety. Notice verse number 68. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. Notice verse number 70. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. And then notice verse number 71. And he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom that ye speak. So we see all these times Peter and the other disciples did that. What they did, for what reason? For safety. They didn't want to be associated because they were afraid that if they were associated, they too may be taken. It's amazing to see what people will do in order to keep themselves safe. You know, you let something take place and say in a big area with a lot of people, say in a movie theater, and somebody holler fire. There's been more than one time people stomped to death by people trying to get out of that building. Why? Safety. They're not concerned with anybody else. It's save yourself, keep yourself safe. Instead of, hey, okay, we can all get out of here. Let's file out single file. No, they're going to run over you. Why? They're going to keep themselves safe. And here's this characteristic. Now, what must we do? We must, again, evaluate the worth of self. We must stop and evaluate the sin that is so ready in our life to step up to the plate. The wickedness of our own heart, the sin nature that we have. We better do some evaluating of our sin nature before some tragedy takes place or something like that comes about. We better do some thinking about what would we do in this circumstance and be prepared to do what we've thought through and don't let self take over. The self-preservation take over it at a certain point in time, or we're going to deny our Lord. But let's move on. We'll look back at verse number 54. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Notice verse 66. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. Notice verse 67. And when she saw Peter warming himself. Now here's another characteristic. It's called satisfaction. Here are two times Peter was warming himself. One thing I learned a long time ago, everybody, including myself, likes to be satisfied. We like what we like. And what we like, we want right now. Don't we? I mean, right there lies a lot of the problems that everybody in here has with their mate, is what they want. They want right now, and when their mate don't supply it right then, there's tension, there's friction. Can possibly be that, right? But here we like to be satisfied. Well, he wanted to be warm, and he's warming himself. But, you know, turn over to chapter 15 and notice verse number 15. We'll see another person that has this characteristic of satisfaction. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Here we have Mr. Pilate. Well, he wanted satisfaction too. He didn't want to have continual uproar in his rulership, so he was willing to turn over Barabbas and crucify Jesus when he knew that Jesus had done nothing worthy of death. But in order to have satisfaction among other people, listen, when it comes to satisfaction, there's all kind of forms of satisfaction. You know, I've mentioned some of them already. Social standing, money, prestige, you know, not to be considered a fanatic, all those kind of things. By the way, when Renee and I first started serving God, her family tried to put that fanatic type label on us, thinking that if they labeled us that, we wouldn't want it, and therefore we'd come back to their moderate religion. But there's a lot of people that do. I mean, we had some real close friends that left the Brethren Church when we left. Their family did the same thing to them as Renee's family did to us. And they stayed 9 months in an independent Baptist church and then went back to the Brethren Church because they couldn't take the pressure from the family. What am I saying? Satisfaction. They didn't want any trouble. They didn't like tension. And a lot of people, for the sake of those things, will do that. You know, there's another illustration in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 10. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Liking the things that the world brings, the satisfaction that it brings. A lot of people will deny the Lord, will not continue serving the Lord for the sake of satisfaction. Go back over to verse number 55, and I'll give you one last characteristic, and then I'll come back and look at some other things. Verse number 55. And the chief priest and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death and found none. And that's sort of interesting. They found no witnesses that would witness against him to put him to death, but neither did they find any that witnessed for him. One way, and probably the most, this is probably the most ways in which Jesus is denied or betrayed. Silence. Silence. When we have an opportunity to stand up for our Lord and say something for him, and instead of doing that, we just say nothing. I can remember the first public school teaching job that I had in the teacher's lounge. It happened one time. One of the teachers said a derogatory remark about the Lord Jesus. I didn't say a word. I got up and walked out. From the door of that teacher's lounge back to my office, my classroom, the Lord worked me over. He let me know that I had betrayed him simply because I'd kept my mouth shut. And that day, I committed to the Lord. If it ever happens again, I will stand up for you. I will say something for you. Guess what? Within a week, the Lord proved me. Because I was right back in that setting, and the same man said something against the Lord Jesus Christ again. And I had a choice I was going to make. Was I going to say something? Or was I going to leave and be silent? I stood up, and I said something to him. I rebuked him. I said, that is not so. I said, the Bible, and I quoted Scripture to him to reprove what he had said about the Lord Jesus Christ. All of a sudden, things got quiet in the room. They stopped laughing at this man's filthy jokes. And then from then on, every time I came in, they'd say, shh, 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 here comes old Holy Joe. You better watch what you say. Well, did I have a problem with that? No. At least I didn't have to put up with the filth anymore. And it was sort of interesting. I had different teachers after that come to me and ask me questions about what the Bible did say about a lot of things. If I hadn't have stood up and said something, I would have never had those opportunities. But not only that, I would have been denying my Lord in silence. Now, one thing for sure, we're going to have to stop, as I've already said, and count the worth of self. We're going to have to stop and look at the wickedness of the sin in our life. We're going to have to stop and realize the wiles of Satan. He's going to use all kind of different methods and trickery in order to try to get us to be silent or to consider satisfaction or consider silver, consider whatever. We better consider what the Bible says about Satan. Then we need to open ourselves up to the word of the Scriptures and the working of the Spirit and say, Lord, strengthen me so I will not deny or say no to our Lord. But come back to chapter 14. I want to close with a few thoughts here, and I won't read all of them. Verse number 3 down to verse number 9, you have a context here of Mary of Bethany anointing the Lord with alabaster box, ointment of spikenard and precious ointments here. here in this, in verse number 3, she comes to worship her Savior. Now, I can guarantee you one thing. If you'll take time every single day to worship your Savior, you're going to be hard-pressed for anything to keep you silent or anything that would be more important that would cause you to deny or betray your Savior if you worship Him every day. It's when we get out of that worshiping Him every day, does the flesh take over, or the world take over, or the devil takes over. But as long as we worship our Savior every single day, here in these passages, read these passages sometime and let these passages show you what worship to the Savior brings. It will bring the rejoicing of heart there in verse 3. It will bring in verse number 4 and 5 the reproach of others. Why was this spent? I mean, why was this wasted? We could have sold this and got money for it. But then 6 through 9, you'll see there will be a response from the Savior. He's going to say, look, everywhere the gospel is preached, I want it to be known that this woman loved me. This woman was commended by our Lord. And I can guarantee you one thing, when you worship the Savior every single day, there won't be much that would cause you to deny the Lord. Let's pray.